All right. Would you agree that people need, no, people have problems?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
Does anybody not have problems?
No.
Okay. So that's a common malady, right? I got an email from a friend of mine who doesn't live in Oklahoma, but he was asking me to pray for him because here are some of his situations. I'm counseling a woman who has had two abortions and is under conviction of sin. I'm counseling a pastor whose marriage has been destroyed by his ungodly husbanding. I'm counseling a man with a doctorate who is addicted to pornography and has been caught exposing himself to women, and he claims to be a Christian. I'm counseling a woman whose thoughts are controlling her to the extent that she is a wreck because of worry and fear and inability to sleep. And I'm counseling a young lady who works for a Christian campus organization, and she's having severe panic attacks and is unable to get a good night's sleep because of fear. Still want to go through the class? Marriages are often in distress. Family relationship troubles. A neighbor, a coworker confides in you that they're having trouble just with life and they want to know what's the point. People are entangled in pornography or other life-dominating sins. Parents have trouble with their kids or teens. There's all kinds of stuff, right? People have problems and they need help. And they need help. Where do these people go with these kind of life problems? And by the way, this list could go on and on, right? Mm-hmm. Where do people with these kind of problems go? Can you all hear me back there? So? I'll try to talk loud. If I'm not talking loud, just raise your hand and say, "Arr." Where do these people go? Where
Mars.
Should they?
Mars.
Bars.
Oh, bars.
The internet.
Yeah. Bars.
Psychologists.
Therapists.
Yeah. Where should they go?
The Lord.
Jesus.
To the church, right? To people who can help them. Right? So, because where else are they going to get help that is truly help? Right? So I suspect you're here because you want to learn how to help people who have troubles. And I'm glad you're here. And after 8 weeks, you're going to know a whole lot more about how to help people who are having life troubles. Because I'm not going to help you do that. The Lord is. Okay? And so we're going to be learning from the Lord together for the next few weeks. So I want to submit to you that these kind of people should come to the church. And the church is us, right? Because we're the church, not to the building. I mean, it's good if they come to the building on a Sunday morning, but we're coming to the church. They're coming to us because we are the church, because we are the ones that can help them and have the answers to life problems. Do you want them to come to you? Do you want them to come to you?
Yes.
Not yet, right? Why don't you want them to come to you? Let me go further. Not only should we want them to come to us, I want to suggest to you that when you see people struggling, we should go to them. Okay? Because we have the answers. We're accumulating the answers. We're accumulating the wisdom that God provides to help people who are having troubles. Okay? That seems foreign here yet tonight, probably, for a lot of you, but we're gonna work on a lot of this for the next several weeks. Then some of those things sound intimidating, don't they? Some of those situations. And they are intimidating in some ways, but then we say, wait a second. I may not have the answer, but I know someone who does. And that's the Lord. And I may not even have all the answers from the Lord, but I know people in the church who can help me with other answers. And how else can I help them? What do they need to know? Right? So we're all in this together. This is going to be a ministry of learning together. And then as we go out from here after 8 weeks, we're going to be helping each other and relying on each other and encouraging each other in these truths that we're going to learn in these weeks to come. So my goal, I have three goals in this class. At the end of 8 weeks, you're going to have a whole lot more confidence that you can help others who are having troubles. Secondly, we're going to go through a framework called the Seven I's by which you can understand your role in ministry to others. The Seven I's are, think of them as verbs. Okay, we'll talk about that when we get into it. And then we're going to work through a simple document called, it's the 6 diagnostic questions. Did I give you the questions?
Yes.
I gave you the questions, okay. Which will actually give you a lot of clarity on how to walk a person or people through the problems that they're experiencing. Okay? So, one more thing. This class is going to be interactive, so I hope you will join this conversation. And if you have questions, we'll jump in. We're going to grow and learn together. We're going to center on one case study, but we'll have other case studies along the way just to make some additional points. Then we're going to do these case studies. We're going to, so that we can work out the 7 I's, and we're going to work out the 6 diagnostic questions. How does this work out in this relationship with this person that we're trying to help? So first thing I want to address tonight is some of the reluctance that we have to counseling. Well, I'll let you. Why might you or others lack confidence in ministry to others? Haven't done it before, okay? So lack of experience. Okay.
Bad advice. I'm afraid I'll give somebody bad advice.
Okay.
Don't know your Bible well enough.
Okay, lack knowledge. Okay.
I've seen biblical counseling done poorly, so I'm afraid to do it.
Okay.
The time.
Okay.
Could consume a lot of time, potentially.
Uh-huh.
Maybe we don't want to mess a clean life up that we have now or something. We don't want to get into somebody else's mess.
Yeah, yes, right. Okay, so part of it is learning to love others sacrificially, okay?
The world would tell them that they need more.
Yes, right. There's a lot of people out there. It's easy for us to say the professionals should do this. Well, I'm telling you, the professionals don't help. I mean, unless they're giving biblical counsel, because only God's answers help, right? So if they're giving answers that are not Bible answers that God can use in their life, they're not going to change in a way that pleases God, in a way that solves the problems that they're facing. Only the Word of God and the Spirit of God can change people into the likeness of the Son of God so that life problems are solved and worked through. Okay, yes?
So not taking the results personally.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. I don't want to fail. Mm-hmm. Okay? We're going to spend quite a bit of time on what is success. What does success for us look like when we are meeting with people, and what does success not look like? Okay, we're going to talk about that. How about this? I'm a sinner. How can I help anybody? Mm-hmm. Right? I'm not a professional. Well, okay, so that's true, right? We're not Paul Tripp, we're not John MacArthur, we're not Jay Adams, we're not those kind of people. But that doesn't mean we can't counsel. Okay? How about this? It's also true that none of us have all knowledge. Right? And none of us have all knowledge. But you have some. You have some wisdom, and you're growing in wisdom, right? As you're living life and you're seeking the Lord and you're spending time in the Scriptures, you are gaining wisdom along the way. Okay, so you have some wisdom and knowledge, and you are growing in it, so you have something to share already. Okay? And it's true, we're all sinners, but is there anyone that's not? This is the kind of people God uses. People like us. Okay? Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. Does everybody have a Bible? Anybody who doesn't have one?
Can I use my phone?
You can use your phone. As long as it has a Bible on it. Second Peter chapter 2, I mean Second Peter chapter 1. We're seeking to gain confidence that God can use us to minister to other people. So I'm going to read verses 2 through 4.
Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust.
Okay. What's already been granted to us?
Precious and magnificent promises.
Even before that?
His divine power.
Knowledge.
Everything pertaining to life and godliness. Now, and it says, has been granted to us, which means it's already been given. It's already ours. Everything we need for life and godliness has already been given to us. And it comes from whom? The true knowledge of God. So do you have all knowledge and all wisdom yet?
No.
You know, none of us have it yet, right? But he's given it to us in this book, and he's given it to us to get it into us by the preaching, hearing preaching, by our own devotional times, by small groups, other ways of taking in the truths of God's word. Okay? So we're accumulating wisdom that we're now going to be able to give away and minister to others. Okay? So, but you have, God wants you to know, you have been given everything you need for life and godliness. Okay? So we're pursuing the growing knowledge of that, but you already have some. So you've got something you can give away, and you may need more, but that's where others can help you. So whether it's me or someone else, you can ask for help, ask for counsel. But you've been given it because you're giving it to us, and we're going to see it in a minute. Just hold on to that thought. You have been given everything for life and godliness. Does God want us to make disciples?
Yes.
Would that be a godly thing to do? Okay, so counseling is just another form of discipling. It's in many ways it's corrective discipling, but it's discipling nonetheless. It's seeking to help people get back on the track of following the Lord, which is what a disciple does, and get off the track of having gone off the tracks. Okay, so what you need to make disciples has already been given to you, and that includes the ability to help people solve and work through life problems. Okay. Okay, so what we're learning is this is not a, learning to counsel is not an event. It's a lifelong process. Okay. I know a whole lot more about counseling than I did when I graduated with a master's degree in counseling. Right. I'm serious. Because we're still growing. We're still learning. We're still taking in more. So it's not that we have to reach a certain level in order to help people. It's just we already have something. Let's just keep growing in it and get better at it. And this is what sanctification is. It's growing us in the likeness of Jesus, who is the wonderful counselor. So we're learning to counsel the way he counseled. We're learning to minister the way he ministered. Okay. Does that help? Does that give you some confidence? Not from me saying it, it's from God saying it, right? Because God says, we've been given everything we need for life and godliness. He wants you to be confident in him. Okay? Turn to Galatians chapter 6. Someone read verse 1. Galatians 6, verse 1.
Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted.
Okay. Did Jesus help anyone who is caught in any trespass? Right? Okay. We're becoming like him. This is God's goal for us, is to become like him so that we can minister in the way that he ministered. We're following in his steps. We're learning to counsel, learning to disciple the way he made disciples. Did Jesus do it with a spirit of gentleness? Okay, so he's going to help us learn what gentleness in counseling looks like. Was Jesus tempted in all things as we are? Okay, he was yet without sin. So we have to be careful that we're not tempted in this process, but because it is a temptation. It's easy to fall, it's easy to get caught up in the same kinds of things that we're helping others with. We'll talk about that in later on. So the answer obviously is yes to all these things. So all Christians then are called to obey Galatians 6:1 because we're called to become like Jesus. Galatians 6:1 is actually a call to counsel other people. And we've been given, remember we said, we've been given all that we need to do this in the true knowledge of Jesus, right? Now, what does it mean then to be spiritual? It says, you who are spiritual, restore such a one. Who? What does it mean to be spiritual?
Know God.
Okay. Does it mean to be perfect? No, because there are no perfect people yet, right? Does it mean there are no longer sinners? No, we shouldn't be practicing sin, but we are still capable of sinning. We still sometimes go off track as well. Does it mean that we have, does a spiritual person mean that we have all knowledge? No, because we don't. None of us do. Rather, it means that we have the Spirit. Okay, it's kind of what I always said. If we have the Spirit, then we are spiritual, because it's the Spirit that gives us the understanding of these Bible texts. It's the Spirit who helps us know how to apply them to life problems. Okay, so if you have the Spirit, then you can understand the Word of God, and you can see how it applies to life. You can understand how it applies to life. And as Ali said, you know God. If you have the Spirit, it's because you know God. The Spirit was given to us so that we might know Him. Okay? So God is, let me say this, God has actually chosen us, He's chosen to employ us to be ministers of His truth to other people. Right? Isn't that what He's saying? It's a command, but it's also a privilege. He's picked us. Of all people who used to be His enemies, He's made us friends, He's reconciled us to Himself, and now He's put us into practice, put us into ministry for Him, for His namesake. That's what Galatians 6:1 is all about. Gaining any more confidence? Not yet, but I mean, God wants us to be confident in our ministry in His name, and He's going to help us do just that. Now, turn to Romans 15, verse 14. By the way, we can multiply the number of verses that are like this. Okay? But I'm just picking some to highlight the reality that we are able and can minister the truths of God to others. Someone read verse 14.
My friend, I myself feel sure that you are full of goodness, that you have all knowledge, and that you are able to teach one another.
Okay. Did you know that Paul had never been to Rome before? He's never met any of these people. What does he say about them? What does he say is true about them? There's three things.
Full of goodness.
Filled
with all knowledge.
Filled with all knowledge.
Able
to admonish one another. Could Paul have said that about us at BCO and TBC?
Yes.
Oh, that's good. That's good. I got a few. That should be a resounding yes. How do we know that? Okay. You're full of goodness. How do you know that?
The Spirit Jesus.
Right, because if you have the Spirit, one of the manifestations of the fruit of the Spirit is goodness. Mm-hmm. Right? So you're full of goodness. It's just be under the Spirit's control and you are full, you will be full of goodness. Okay? How about filled with all knowledge?
Second Peter says it.
So you have all the knowledge you need. You might not remember it, you might not be as exposed to it as you need to be, but you can continue to gain it. You can continue to accumulate it and be more and more equipped to serve the Lord. Okay, and then finally, able to admonish one another. What does admonish? What's the word admonish mean?
Warn.
Okay, part of it's warn. Yeah.
Instruct.
Warn and instruct. It has both. Okay. But you're learning. Go ahead.
But warmly, brotherly.
In a brotherly way.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're in a kind way, in a way that's filled with goodness and knowledge. You're able to help them put off that which is contrary to God, and you're helping them see what is right in God's eyes. Okay. So you're able to admonish one another because you've been filled with all goodness and you've been filled with all knowledge. Or you have all knowledge at your disposal. Okay? You already have some. Right? So this is true of all of us in here tonight. If you have the Spirit, you have the ability to admonish others. You have the ability to warn and to encourage others in the truth. All of us do. We're just getting better at it. That's all that's happening. We're just going to get better at it. Okay, that's what this class is going to be all about. One last one. I don't think I put it in your notes, but 1 Corinthians 2:16. Is it in your notes?
No.
1 Corinthians 2:16 says, we have the mind of Christ. What does that mean? Charlie just grabbed it. Isn't this the mind of Christ revealed to us? All that's happening is we're getting this in and renewing our mind with this truth so that his mind is in us. Okay? You have the mind of Christ, so we just need to be renewed more and more in these truths. And the more that our minds are renewed in it, then we're gonna think and speak and act in ways that are more like Christ in our ministry to others and at home and in workplace and in with all of our friends. It's all cumulative, but it's having our minds renewed with the mind of Christ revealed to us in the Scripture. Okay? So, I'm going to summarize it this way. God is saying in Galatians 6:1 and in Romans 15:14 that it is his stated plan to use incomplete people. Well, you've been made complete in Christ. We just need to operate in that completeness. So we're learning how to walk more like Christ, to follow him, to learn from him, so that we can minister to others the way he did. Okay. So, but we're not perfect in that yet. So we're incomplete, but he is completing us. And he has employed us to accomplish his purposes in the world. Not every purpose, but whatever he puts in front of us, we have opportunity to be used by him to accomplish his purposes in the world. Okay? Now, should we tremble at this?
Yes.
Right. Should we be confident in this?
Yes.
Right. We need to be both, right? This is both a trembling. It's like, Lord, help me. But yes, Lord, I get to. I want to. I know. You've said right there, these are promises you've made me. I want to operate in those promises. Okay. We just don't have all wisdom, but we do have some. We don't have all knowledge, but we have it in this book. We have the mind of Christ. We just need to have our minds renewed in these truths. James 1:5. Anybody know it? If anyone lacks wisdom,
let him ask
of God. And what does God promise?
He
will give it to you generously and without reproach, without saying, come on, don't you get it yet? That's not God. God is more eager to give us wisdom than we're willing to receive it. You agree with that? God is more willing to give us wisdom than we're able or willing to receive it. We still have this struggle in us called the flesh. We still have the world around us. We still have a devil that is still our enemy. But God is eager, ready to give us wisdom that we need. Okay, Colossians 2:3 says that in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Well, believers are known as those who are in him. Okay, so in him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, and we are in him, which means that his wisdom is ready, it's us. It's for us because we're in him. He wants to fill us with that knowledge. I'm going to just read one more text. 1 Peter 4:11 reinforces this truth that God has gifted us to minister. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Now, this isn't new revelation. It is speaking what God has already revealed, because we have everything we need in this book for life and godliness. So, speaking the utterances of God, whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies. Our ability to do this isn't in us, right? Our ability is going to come from the Lord. So it's like, Lord, help us. Okay? So, God is just simply calling us to speak his truth, not our own. Right? God is calling us to speak his truth and not our own. Not our own wisdom. It is his wisdom. That's all we're doing, is learning how to speak his truth to other people. So we're not to be, we're not to be fearful and shrink away from this ministry to others because we think we're inadequate. Because we're not inadequate. Jesus has made us adequate. Nor should we be self-confident in our own adequacy, because Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Okay? He's the one who makes us adequate, and yet, apart from him, we can't do anything. So all of our adequacy is from him. So we're to be confident in Christ, that he's already made us adequate to speak for him, has given us both the privilege and the obligation to do so, and he's the one who is going to continue to instruct us so that we can do this better and better, more and more. Okay? Ready?
Let's go.
Okay. Let's just stop and pray for a minute then and ask the Lord to help us with this. Can we do that? Lord, we come hearing these promises, and we know that you spoke them, so they have to be true. You spoke them, and by your Spirit, we can receive them and move forward in confidence that you're going to help us. Lord, you know our weaknesses, you know our frailties, you know our struggles, our own struggles. I pray that you would overcome all of those, help us to see where we are, might be resisting, where we might be struggling with it, where we might not have confidence. Lord, help us to remember these things that we've heard tonight, that you have not only redeemed us from destruction, but you have made us equipped and equipped us with everything we need for life and godliness, so that we might bear much fruit that remains. And so I thank you that you are for us, that you are in us, that you are going to instruct us in these weeks to come. Would you do a mighty work in us as we eagerly anticipate your grace to us in Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Okay, what I want to look at next are the resources that we have that make us adequate. But first, a case study. Your neighbor down the street, Sue, comes to you in tears and confides to you that her marriage is on the rocks, that her husband has filed for divorce and is seeing someone else, and says, "What am I going to do since I don't have any job skills to support myself?" What are you thinking?
Here we go.
Well, right, because good. I'm glad you said that, because you're remembering what we just learned, right? Okay.
So don't you want to find out if she's a believer, if you don't already know that?
Yes, you will want to find that out. I want her to find out what's going on in you first.
I would just tell her to go to the church. Believe her or not, I mean...
You are the church.
Well,
you have come to the right person. No, I mean, you've come. We can help.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I mean, I had a similar situation. I mean, not exact scenario.
Okay.
The woman who I spoke to you about the other day, mm-hmm. and Jeremy knows about it, and that is kind of the answer that I told her, that she needs to find a church to get plugged into. So, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if that's the right answer or not, but that's what's going on inside of me. That's something interesting.
Yeah, you might be thinking, I don't know how to help her. It's like,
Yeah.
It's just like immediately prayers, like
the whole time they're talking, it's like, Lord, what do you want to say? What do you want to say? You know, just right. waiting.
Okay.
Trying to get what they're.
That's a good. That's good. Immediately going to ask you, Lord, help me, Lord. What do I say? How do I? Okay. Okay. So.
You're jumping ahead. We haven't got to the diagnostic question yet.
I'm only trying to find out what's going on inside of you at this point.
I would have great compassion for her.
Okay.
And I would want to help her.
Right.
I would
okay.
feel her pain.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right. I ask her more questions. Probing questions.
Yeah, we're going to get into how to minister to her, and that, because this is what counseling is all about. We got to know more before we can help. We got to know more. I just want you to be. I want you to be ready for people who bring this kind of thing to you and say, "Wait a minute, Lord, you said, Romans 15:14, I am filled with all wisdom. I have been filled with all knowledge, and I'm able to admonish." Now, she may not need admonishment at this point. We don't know. Maybe. But, or I've been given everything I need for life and godliness, or the church has. So either I'm going to try to help as much as I can, but if I don't have all the answers, I'll find somebody who can help me know how to minister to this lady. Right?
And maybe reiterate that you don't know the answer, but you do have that compassion, and all hope is not lost, and you will help her
right.
find the answers.
Right.
But
all hope is not lost. That is the second I. That's called inspiration. Giving people hope.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Giving people hope. We're going to get there. Not tonight, but we're going to get there. Can we now say, I don't know how to help her? Can we use that answer anymore?
No.
Okay. You might not have the answers that she needs. But it doesn't rely on you only. There is help. It's just getting her connected with the person who can help. But when this class is done, you're going to know better how to help this lady. And you may still not know all that she needs to know, but you will still have resources upon which to draw to help you know how to help this lady more. Okay? We're in this together. That's the point. We can rely on each other. We're going to help each other. Okay? We don't have all wisdom, but we have some, right? We don't have all the answers, but the Word of God does. And I'm not in this alone. There are others who can help us know how to help Sue in this difficult trial she's in. What might you be thinking about them? This woman and her husband, or perhaps ex-husband-to-be. What are you thinking about him? Are you thinking about it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, it's sad, okay?
Might be judging him a little.
Yeah, well, there's all kinds of stuff that can be going on, right? You might be angry at him, right? Who is this jerk? Okay? You might be, Linda said, you feel great compassion for Sue. She is in a difficult spot, a very difficult spot. By the way, this is not uncommon, as you probably know. This is not uncommon.
Well, and for her to admit that is pretty hard, depending on the relationship
yep.
you have. So,
right.
Thanking her for being honest.
Right. Yeah.
I think I have to fight off my practical side, because, that's my first thing out of my mouth wants to be like, do you have a joint checking account? You need to go freeze that. That's what my brain goes to.
Well, there is, and there is, that is wisdom that she may need. She may not know to do anything like that, but there is. She needs to get the cut. Depends on what kind of guy this guy is. This doesn't sound like he's a people who are in sin do crazy things. They do crazy things. Okay. So there's all kinds of help that you want to give, but that's probably not the first place you go. but it's not far in. It's not far in. Okay. Okay. Sue is being sinned against by her husband. Right? What do people who are sinned against, how do they often act and react?
Sin in response.
Sin in response.
Retaliate.
Or retaliate, okay. Quit, give up, commit suicide, start drinking, go find another husband. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff going on, that possible things that can be going through her mind. What does she need? There's lots of things she needs.
Yeah.
She needs what?
The gospel.
She needs the gospel for sure. She needs a friend, someone who cares about her, someone who she knows that she can trust, that will walk with her through this. This is where we go to the question about time. Whose time is it?
God's time.
We are stewards of the time that God has given us. And so it is choosing to use the time that we have in the most fruitful, helpful, loving ways. Okay? So loving other people is costly. Okay? So this might be costly in terms of time. It might be costly in terms of resources. Maybe. Depends on if that's the wisest thing to do, but we'll talk through some of these things. What kinds of possible emotional turmoil is she in?
Fear.
Fear, okay.
Hopelessness.
Hopelessness.
Anger.
Bitterness.
Yeah, bitterness. Mm-hmm. Doubt. Like, what did I do wrong? Is God punishing me? Why is this happening to me? I've been trying to be the wife I was trying. I'm trying to be a good wife. Why is this happening to me? There's all kinds of stuff going on. Possibly going on. Okay. Before you give any kind of counsel, you want to find out what's going on. What is she? We'll get into some specifics. She needs hope. She needs wise counsel, and she specifically needs God's counsel. Okay. What do you have that you can offer, Sue? Let me ask you this. I'll ask another way. What has God provided for us in ministry to others in these difficult and painful life situations? What has God provided to us to help her, and what has God provided to her?
Everything
pertaining to life and godliness. Very good. Hang on to that, because that's our rock. That is one of the rocks we hold on to. God has given us everything we need for life and godliness, including this lady who's struggling.
2 Timothy 3:16 and 17.
Same idea.
All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching and reproof, for correction.
And training in righteousness, so that the man of God be adequate, equipped for every good work.
Can you explain what everything for life means? Because I think that would mean something very different in America versus a hut in Africa. I think that needs to apply to the globe to be.
Yeah, I think he is referring. God doesn't instruct us how to replace a water heater.
Right.
Okay. Not those kind of things. It's basically wisdom for living. Wisdom for living and living godly. So it's life in God's world.
No matter your circumstances.
No matter your circumstances.
Wisdom for living. That makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. It's impossible to overemphasize what we're going to talk about for the rest of our time tonight, because everything we're going to talk about for the rest of tonight is the foundation for everything we do in counseling ministry. Okay? God has, as we've already said, God has provided everything that we need for life and godliness, which means ministry to her, and God has provided that to her if she will receive it. Okay? She might not receive it, or might not be ready to receive it, or might really be struggling with receiving it because, how do I know for sure I can trust God? I mean, there's all kinds of things that can happen here. But that reality, even though she says she can trust God, you know that she must, because is there any other answer? He is the source of all that is good and right. Okay. Okay. These resources don't come in a package in the mail. right? They come by our knowledge of God and our understanding of the Word of God and our ability to communicate those things to Sue so that she can receive the same things that we're passing on to her because God has employed us to pass them on to her. I'm getting ahead of myself. Is it likely that Sue is going to be comforted by just helping her with those words?
No.
Okay? Because right now they're just words on a page. She has to believe them. Okay? Which means you're probably going to have to give her some reminders that, you know, God is good. God doesn't lie. God never changes. This is His promise to those who know Him. This is His promise to those who trust Him. This is an unchanging promise. We can trust God with those words. So you're actually appealing to her on the basis of the character of God who has given this promise in the Word of God. Okay? These are not just words on a page. These are words from a person that are written on a page. And it's a person who we're going to find out later. Does Sue know this God who has made this promise? So we got to know if she knows this God who has made this promise. So we're going to get into that in a minute. Okay? So we've got to believe this promise we have to believe the promise in order to have confidence to minister, right? And she has to have confidence in this promise in order for her to go forward, because if she doesn't believe that God is going to help her, no counsel that you give her is going to help, right? She has to have confidence that in the God who has made this promise. You got to find out if she actually believes this God, trusts this God, knows this God, okay? So
you want to, it's almost like they need the gospel first.
That's almost always where you go. If you don't know Sue, right, if you don't know Sue, and you don't know if she has trusted Christ, believes Christ, is following Christ, if you don't know that, you got to know that before. If she's not a Christ follower, mm-hmm. a disciple, born again with the Spirit, 1 Corinthians 2 says that she can't, these things are foolishness to her because they're spiritually appraised. They're going to be like water
just
and oil.
Dealing with one guy that he thinks he's saved, and yeah. I think he's saved, but I don't know for sure he's yeah. saved. So it's kind of like I may get to the point where I find out he's really not.
Right.
So it would be what I think he's should be absorbing is foolishness.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Right. And you're so looking. You're listening for their testimony of faith, and it's particularly what their life in Christ looks like. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." How do you know that sheep is hearing His voice? They follow Him.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you hearing His voice? Are you following Him? And you know what? How do you know? I mean.
Yeah. Looking for eagerness for the Word.
That's
eagerness
right.
to be around
right.
God's people.
Right.
Eagerness to have that relationship
right.
through prayer.
There are a lot of, would you agree with the statement? There are a lot of people who have the right words about the gospel but are not saved.
Yeah.
Right? So what you're looking for is, do they have faith? Do they have the Spirit? And, you know, what are the evidences that you have faith? What are the evidences that you have the Spirit?
Because that works is dead.
I'm sorry?
Faith without works is dead.
Faith without works is dead. So it's going to be a purposeful pursuit of what Jesus says, because He has the words of life. I can't afford to be listening to any other voice. His are the words of life. So I'm going to follow Him. I need to follow Him. But in the middle of this trial that Sue is in, okay, big things come up. You know, what happens when big things come up? Big problems. Is the first thing that you do go, "Lord, I need Your help." Here's Sue, who's just found out her husband's divorcing her, and he's seeing somebody else. And she doesn't have any job skills. Is her thought likely the first thing, "You know what, Lord? I am so thankful for You. I am so thankful You're going to help me go through this." That's probably not the first thing that's going through her mind. Probably not. But that's what we're doing, is we're trying to help her get back to that kind of mindset. Yes?
Do you ever ask them if they want help? Because I feel like sometimes people just want to tell you stuff and they don't really want help.
Oh, yeah. You want to invite yourself in.
Yeah.
Don't bang the door down. Right? Yeah. I mean, if somebody came and knocked at your door and they wanted to sell you a vacuum cleaner, and if you don't want to talk to them, you're not going to invite them in. Right? And if they start knocking on the door and say, no, I want to come in. Let me in. No. And they jerk the door open. It's like, yeah, you don't want to do that. But you want to invite yourself in and say, you know what? I can help. And there are people in our church who can help, who can give us wisdom on how to go forward from here. We want to help you. Do you want it? Would you like to have that kind of help? Okay. Yeah, that's a good point. Okay.
Might take Sue a while for her to learn how to trust.
Sure.
And so leaning on your trust and your faith and you're standing firm, where she's, you're going to be showing it to her until she grows her own.
There are times when people are hopeless, and you will have to be their hope for a time. In other words, they may need to live on your hope for the time being, but you want to keep giving them the truth that gives hope, right? May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope. The person who's hopeless is not believing the promises of God. So we have to project our hope in those words and our trust in them, and we are living by them, and then we can and say, I know that God will help you with this. Let's you just walk with me for a while. I'm going to walk you through some of these promises, and we're going to seek him together. And that's the kind of hopeful she may need a friend who is like that, who is saying, I'm willing to walk through this with you, and we're going to seek the Lord together. We're going to find out what he wants, what we have for both of us in this. And okay, so she may need that kind of help. She may be that distraught. Okay, the first resource that we have and she has, we both have it, same resource, is revelation. The Bible. How does the Bible give help to Sue in the middle of all this? What's it going to help her do?
Renews her thinking, perhaps.
Okay.
Gives her a firm foundation.
Okay. Remember, it's going back to what am I supposed to build my life on? Or perhaps build it on for the first time if she's not a believer. Okay.
The truth will set her free.
And the truth will set her free. From what?
Despair.
Right, because in the middle of this, she's tempted, she might be looking for revenge. She might be looking to, it's like, I'm just looking for a way of escape that is not the Bible, not the Lord, right?
Looking for love in all the wrong places.
That's right, looking for love in all the wrong places. Okay? So the Bible is going to help her stay focused on what the Bible would, what God wants me to do right now, not what my feelings would tell me, not what my circumstances would tell me, right? Not what the world would tell me, not what the devil would tell me, but one voice, what the Word of God would tell me.
She'll be getting a lot of, if she's not working, but just from family and friends and other, she's going to have all kinds of voices speaking into the situation. And so it's going to be really hard to differentiate. My mom's telling me to do this. My sister's telling me to do this.
And that is a common experience. You'll want to give biblical, wise, helpful, that it's true counsel. And she or he may have other people saying, well, my dad told me this, or my church told me this.
Right.
Even churches.
Yeah.
We'll give bad counsel. Okay? So we're appealing to her not to listen to our voice, right? We don't preach we don't preach ourselves. We preach Jesus as Lord. We communicate his lordship and why that is such a blessed reality, that Jesus is Lord. He will lead us in the paths of righteousness. He's our good shepherd. He's our king. He's our protector. He's our shield. He's our rock. He's our Redeemer. He is everything to us. Okay, but it comes, this knowledge comes from the Bible. Just Psalm 19. verses 7 to 11. His word is perfect. God's word is perfect. It's sure. It's right. It's clean. It's true. And it's righteous. It will also restore the soul, make wise the simple, so that they don't do foolish things, right? Makes wise the simple. Rejoices the heart, right? This doesn't Sue at this point need joy in the Lord? She might be struggling with having joy in the Lord, but the scriptures rejoice the heart. They give light to our spiritual eyes. Isn't it? She may be operating in the dark. She needs light. She needs something that's going to give her direction. It produces fear of God, and it gives stability, boldness, and courage, and a sense of security. It provides guidance and protection. This is all of these things is what the Word of God does for that, does for us.
And they are sufficient.
And they're sufficient, right? Sufficient, authoritative, inerrant, infallible. It's all we need. We need the Word of God in every situation and circumstance. Okay? So all of that is promised to the one who receives God's promises. When we tell her what God's promises to her are and what God's commands are, we're calling her to believe those because of the character of God behind the words. Okay? Because if Sue's trust is not in the Lord, what's left? Anything but the Lord, right? And that's not good. There's only one voice that she needs to listen to, and that's the Word of God. Which makes it simple, in one sense. That's all she needs. It's just the Word of God. You know what I'm saying? You're feeling the tension here, but we need to know the Word of God better, right? So this is why we continue to pursue the knowledge of God in the study of the Scriptures on our own, reading it and thinking about it and meditating on it, and even memorizing key passages that are helpful in counseling. If Sue's trust is not in the Lord, she's left with her own wisdom and her own feelings or some other counsel other than God's. Okay. How's that likely to end up? It's not going to work out well, is it? She can actually make matters far worse by doing things other than what the Bible calls her to do. Okay, I'm going to draw you a picture. This is a Bible. Not a very good Bible. Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray. Jeremy's gone astray. Lyndon's gone astray. Terry's gone astray. Lori's gone astray. Cindy's gone astray. Darren's gone astray. Kathy's gone astray. All of us have gone astray. Right? What is likely to happen between these two people, or between Sue and her husband, if this is not in the picture? What's likely to happen unless they're governed by this? Right? So if Sue has gone here and the husband is here, and if you as the counselor are here, where do you think we should meet? Where should all these people meet?
Word.
Right? So your goal is to help Sue not go here first. Your goal is to help Sue get here first. And your goal, if you have opportunity, is to help her husband go here first. And you as the counselor have to go here first, because you are not going to be able to do this for Sue unless you go there first. Okay? At home. You work this out at home in your marriages with your kids. Or your, you know, co-workers or whoever. You ever get in arguments with your spouse or your, and you go, why are we having such a hard time with this? If everyone involved in the difficulty is here, and they're all operating from this book, isn't there much more likely to be hope for progress?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I mean, this is why we need the scripture, because it's everything we need for life and godliness. So, every counseling situation that you face, whether it's walking with one person or whether it's in a group setting where you're trying to work through a whole bunch of, what am I talking about, conflict between a whole group of people. The only answer is still to come back to this book, right? Because otherwise, you're left with these people fighting each other, and these people over here listening, it's like, well, you guys are both wrong. We got to go back to this book. We got to go back to the Word of God, because hold on to that principle. Is it clear?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Hold on to that. Hold on to it. Because there is no other answer. Only the Bible has the answer, and our appeal is to invite them to take the promises of God and apply to their life. But do they believe? See, this is where we get back to, do they believe the promises of God? Do they want the promises of God? Are they willing to be governed by them and submit themselves to it? Okay?
You've got 10 minutes, Terry.
Thank you. Thanks for that.
But even Psalm 19 testifies to that. I mean, yeah. What else does that? I mean,
right.
What else outside of God's word can make these claims?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sue might be saying, but I want to go to a professional. Well, find out who the professional is. And find out, is this person going to give them biblical counsel, or are they going to give them secular counsel? Right? And if they're going to give them secular counsel, you want to know enough about Sue whether she is a believer or not. If she's a believer, appeal to her. This person, though they may have good intentions, is not going to help you because they're not going to give you biblical counsel. You need God's counsel in the middle of all this. Right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Does God know what Sue is facing?
Yes.
Does God know what Sue's temptations are?
Yes.
Does God know what Sue's weaknesses and her inability to deliver herself? Right? God knows that. Does God know that Sue needs a savior and a deliverer and a protector?
Yes.
Okay? Does God know how to meet her needs? Does he have unlimited power to do so?
Yes.
Does he know what will help her most? Does he know what instruction she needs in this life difficulties?
Yes.
This is what you want to help Sue with. There is a God in heaven who loves you, who cares about you, who is willing to give you all that you need to know how to respond to this situation. We're representing and pointing her to God, not just to words of counsel. We're pointing her to a person who's going to help her as she receives God's counsel for her. It's relational. Okay. God has promised all these things and more. He's provided to Sue and us through the true knowledge of Jesus Christ. So, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with how much of your heart?
All of it.
Okay. So you're appealing to Sue. So if you will trust in the Lord with all your heart, and don't lean on your own understanding. Don't even lean on my understanding. Lean on the Lord. Lean on his understanding. And in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. He will give you wisdom and counsel and guidance and direction. Okay? So we're ambassadors. We are spokesmen to pass along the wisdom that we have, or to get her connected with someone who can help her with the parts of the troubles that she's having that we may not have answers to. So we need Bible wisdom to minister to others. And Sue needs that same wisdom. We're all in this together. So we're actually all seeking the Lord together. Her hearing that, it doesn't sound like you are looking down on her. We're all in this together. We're walking together. We're going to seek the Lord together because we're all strugglers in this world. Okay? This lady has real problems, but she has a God who has answers to every one of those problems. And that's what we're trying to get her connected to, is this person, because he is the solution. It isn't just counsel. It is that he is the solution who helps us know how to apply his truth. Okay, that's the first resource. Second one is the gospel. And we're going to touch on this, and we're going to come back to this again next week. No, we're not. We're going to stop there, because I know what's going to happen. Yeah. I'll keep rolling. Yes. Okay. before you go, see that blue booklet in front of you? I want to suggest to you, write your name on them, because there's about 30 of them that look the same. Write your name on it so that you know whose is whose. And if you have a spouse that's not here, be sure to pick one up for them. Questions about tonight so far?
And so what I love that last point that you made about you're not just using scripture like as a band-aid to fix their problems, although we are using scripture, but you're pointing them to God, to a person,
right,
and how important that
right.
is.
Because that way then they don't hear it just as your opinion.
Yeah.
They don't need opinions. They need truth that is forever settled in heaven, that is never going to change, that by which God promises to lead us and guide us, because he's already provided everything we need for life and godliness, right? Okay.
But there's such a tendency to disassociate, I mean, in some places, obviously, most people, I would say, that God, this is God speaking to you.
It is.
And so that doesn't, and like you said earlier, it's like it's more than words on a page, but connecting into the person of Jesus Christ ultimately, but having to, that's helpful for me, having to remind them of whose these words are and the authority that they
right.
carry.
And it's the authority and the character of the person
right.
who wrote those words. But, okay, 2 minutes. Is God good?
Yes.
All the time?
Yes.
Does he ever change?
No.
So he's immutable.
Yes.
Is he wise?
Yes.
How much wisdom?
All.
Okay. Is he for us?
Yes.
Is he always good?
Yes.
Always wise?
Yes.
Always for us?
Yes.
What would Sue think about that?
Doesn't feel like it is right now.
Right now it doesn't. But this is where you operate by faith, not by
feelings,
not by circumstances. There's a pressure, right? She's feeling the pressure of these feelings. She's feeling the pressure of the circumstances, but you can't be governed by feelings, and you can't be governed by the circumstances. You have to be governed by the Word of God. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. Okay? What else is true about God? Is he truthful?
Yes.
Is it possible for God to lie?
No.
Okay? Where is he?
Everywhere.
Okay? How strong is he? Does he ever change? Okay? See, this character of God informs everything, including the words that come out of this book. We've got to know him and his character before these words filter through the remembrance that he is good, that he is wise, that he is loving. By the way, can we ever be separated from the love of God? So, Sue, right now you know that you can't be separated from love. If you're in Christ, you can't be separated from his love. It doesn't feel like it right now, I know. But God said we cannot be separated from his love. So in some way, you are being loved by God right now. He is loving you right now. Okay? He is. And is he gracious? Is he merciful?
Yes.
Is he kind?
Yes.
All of those things inform the counsel that you're going to give them, because you're representing God to Sue and to the people that you minister to. Okay?
You're helping build her view of God.
She needs a
higher view of God.
That's right. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what we're called to, right? The more we know God, doesn't that comfort us and sustain us and hold us captive? That's what she needs. Right now, she might be tempted to go any different direction, all kinds of different directions here. She needs to be held captive by that. She needs to come back to there and stay right there, no matter how she feels. Okay?
I'm surprised sometimes about the willingness, believer or unbeliever, to receive prayer. And you can communicate a lot of those things in that prayer for them in that time, and how that can be such an invitation into their situation. I'm not the, I'll pray for you and we'll
yes.
hope.
Yes.
But, like, we need to pray right now.
That's right. Actually, you want the person to hear you praying for her or him, whoever it is, so that she knows specifically what you're asking on her behalf. Okay? And you want to hear, and you are trustworthy, and we can't be separated from your love. That is so encouraging, Lord. So would you remind us, would you help us walk in that remembrance, and right? Mm-hmm. And then we want to be governed by this. We don't want to sin. We're tempted in the middle of all this, Lord, so help us go through this in a way that honors you, trusts you, and obeys you.
And that leaves her encouraged.
That's
as
right.
You end the
That's right.
session or whatever.
Right. Okay. I'm going to pray because it's 8:15. Thank you, Lord, for tonight. Thank you for your grace to sinners like us, saving us out of a fruitless, useless life to now become fruitful and useful in your kingdom, all because of your grace to us in Jesus, that you have redeemed us and made us one of your own, that you've placed us into your service, you've gifted us with everything we need for life and godliness, and you've given us the privilege to represent you in this world. What a great God you are. What a loving God. What a wise God. So we look forward to your work in our hearts and our lives as we go forward in this study. I pray that you will bind these things to our hearts, encourage us with them, help us to go in the grace and knowledge of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Okay, we'll start next week at 7 pronto.
Thank you.